Good morning. Today's daf and sota yud beis. We are starting it off on the beis towards the bottom of the amud. Give us the starting point in just a moment. Again, I want to thank the Masud family for sponsorship of the entire Masechta. Learning that we do should be for an Elias Neshama for Nehemiah ben Avraham. The Gemara, we are continuing on yud alf amud beis, and we're going to be starting with V'techayena es ha-yiladim. So we're describing the Miyalada. So going even a step back, just zoom out for just a moment. So we are darshaning. The entire day today, we're going to be darshaning the beginning of Sefer Shmos. So how did we get here? Which is really a wonderful question, meaning we're learning Medrash. And we did it yesterday. We're going to be continuing to do it today. And why we're learning Medrash here in a Gemara? So it's a fair question. I don't have a great answer, but that's what we're doing. So we're learning Midrashim, and but meanwhile, though, I do know how we got here, and that is Mida Keneged Mida. So we spoke about this idea, this concept of Mida Keneged Mida. The Gemara says that it's relevant towards Sota. By Sota, a lot of that which is done to her is Mida Keneged Mida because of her poor choices and her behavior that she did with her paramour. So therefore, a lot of what's done to her operates with the rule of Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. And so the Gemara has spent a lot of time talking about Mida Keneged Mida. So we talked about it not only in the context of the Sota, but the Gemara gives, the Mishnah gives other examples as well. Shimshon of Shalom, so they were also examples of Mida Keneged Mida. And then the Gemara segued and talked about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of the Chumash Shmos, and there too, other examples of Mida Keneged Mida. And while we're on the topic of the beginning of Shmos, the Gemara is darshaning, okay? And why it is that the Gemara felt that this is the perfect time to now give us drashas of pasuk by pasuk of Sefer Shmos? Not sure why, but it doesn't matter. And in other words, that's what we did yesterday, and that's what we're going to continue to do today. So we're up to the Miyaldos. The Miyaldos are introduced to us in the first parak of Shmos, and who they are, so we discussed yesterday, meaning the Chumash describes them as Shifra and Pua. But Shifra and Pua, the Gemara's assumption is that that's their AKA, also known as. They're also known as Shifra and Pua. Who are they? Okay, so the Gemara had a couple of opinions yesterday who they were. It was either mother and daughter. Alternatively, it was mother and daughter-in-law. Either way, Shifra and Pua are going to be, it's going to be Yocheved and either her daughter or it's going to be her daughter-in-law. Either way, the Gemara now goes and explains the numerous psukim, so we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and that is V'techayenas Yeladim. So what they did is that they sustained the children, meaning their instructions were to kill the children, specifically the boys. And they did not that. And the Gemara is about to tell us they did the opposite. So Tana, the Gemara quotes the Brayso, Lo Dayin Shalohim Yisun Osan Ela Shayu Maspikos Lamayim. Not only did they not kill, but moreover, they also provided water as well. In other words, they helped the babies. V'atomana miyaldos al paro kilo chanashim. So, and what did they tell Paro? Meaning they had to go back to Paro and they had to report and they had to explain what exactly is going on because they didn't do as instructed. So now the pasuk goes on to read, so the lo chanashim, I'm looking for the pasuk. Yeah, Vatoman, I found it. Right, pasuk your test. Vatoman, Miladosa Parakiloch, and Hashima Mitzios, Ivrios, Kichayos Heina, Veterm Tavo, Alema Miladosa Yalad. And the Gemara now is going to explain what exactly was their explanation to Paro. So, my Chayos. So when they were explaining, when they were describing the Jewish women, they were calling them chayos. So what does that mean? Ilema, chayos mamish. So the Gemara says, well, maybe they were explaining, they were describing the Jewish people as being all midwives. In other words, a nation made up of midwives. So the Gemara says, come on. Atu chaya milotzricha chaya chrita lo lude, even if you are a midwife. If you're a midwife and you're the one giving birth, you need help. Meaning, it doesn't matter that you yourself are a midwife, you need somebody to help you and assist you. So the Gemara says, no. What they were trying to explain to Paro is that this nation, bunch of animals. Now right, I know out of context that sounds bad. Obviously, in context. What's the context of the Gemara? So, for example, in other words, we're going to go over the brachos that were given by Yaakov Avinu to his children. So Yehuda is Gur Ayah, and Dan is Yehi Dan Nachash, and Naphtali Ayala Shlucha, and Yisachar Chamur Garan, and Yosef is Bechor Shur, and Binyamin Zev Yitrof. So many of the sons are compared to animals. And Dechziv Beikziv Bei. Now, anyone who is actually compared to an animal, we just cited the Pasuk, and Udalokziv Bei, and look, there are a couple of the sons that were not compared to an animal, but still, Ksiv Mi Ma Imcha Lavi, Ben Arayos Ravatza. Pasuk Yecheskel says that the mother's like a cub, and and all the children are comparable to animals. Okay, so Yaakov Avinu, when giving bracha to his sons, compared some of them directly to an animal, and the Pasuk Yecheskel compares them all to animals. And just like an animal can go ahead and deliver and not need assistance, the Jewish people as well, they're like animals, they don't need assistance in the delivery of babies. So we got there, but they told us, look, we don't need your help. Okay, because they're like animals in that regard. Okay, that was the explanation that the midwives gives to Paro. And Hashem saw that they feared Hashem. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them is he provided for them, the midwives, batim. Rav Shmuel, so once again we have machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. I'm sure you notice that's a common thread throughout this entire discussion of the Gemara, is that there are going to be generally two opinions, and they're going to be Rav and Shmuel, and we're not going to know which one said which, but either way. So Chanamar Batei Kehuna Levia. So one is of the position that the batim over here, the multiple houses that are coming from Yocheved, and let's assume it's Miriam, the multiple houses that's coming out of Yocheved and Miriam are going to be Kehuna Levia, and Chanamar Batei Malchus, and some say that it's going to be the Malchus, the Melech. Now, Manda Amar Batei Kehuna Levia, so Aaron and Moshe. So the fact that it's Kohen Levi, the Gemara says that's easy to explain, because we know that descending from Yocheved is going to be Moshe and Aaron. Aaron being a Kohen, Moshe being a Levi. That's easy. But Manda Amar Batei Malchus. So, and now if you're saying that king, so David, so Nami Mimer Yamasi, Kasi, the Gemara says, yeah, but that also is explainable. Because as we're about to point out, David does come from Miriam. Now, we know, of course, David comes from Shevet Yehuda, but as we're going to go over the family tree, Miriam has a part in that as well. Dechsev, the Pasuk says, this is now in Divrei Hayamim, Vatamas Azuva. So we're describing a woman by the name of Azuva. In a moment, we're going to learn together that Azuva is none other than Miriam. The Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is giving her another A.K.A. And Vayikach lo Kalev et Safras, Vatei lo Schor, and Kalev is now married to to Ephras, and he gives birth to Chor. Ksiv David ben Ish Ephrasi. So and Ephras is a reference to Miriam, and we know that Miriam is a descendant of we know that David is a descendant from Ephrati. Ephrati is a reference to Ephrat, which is none other than Miriam. Okay, so the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards the Miyalados, and one of the rewards, according to one of the opinions, is Malchus. So the Gemara, based on Divrei Yamin, now draws a family tree connecting David and Melech back to Miriam. Okay, so from the matriarchal line, so there is part of that branch that goes into Miriam. Okay, so the idea that Kalev marries Miriam. So where do we see that? So in the Chumash, we don't see it. So we're not going to learn to. We're not going to go to the Chumash. We're rather going to go to the Pesukim and Divrei Yamin. Now, Divrei Yamim is so, and I speak as somebody who has not read it cover to cover. In other words, the Divrei Yamim I know is the Pesukim that the Gemara quotes. I do not say that with pride, but that's true. I'm not familiar with the Sefer, but the one thing, however, that I picked up on over the years is that there are going to be many names that are given in Divrei Yamim, but the Gemara always assumes that these names are not necessarily proper nouns and proper names, but rather they're adjectives and they're giving descriptions. So like today's Gemara, for example, is going to be a great illustration of this very point. We are on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud, right? Two lines at the bottom. So V'kalev ben chatzon aliz azuva isha v'estirios v'ayel abanea yeshev v'shov v'ardom. So this is the very beginning of Divrei Yamim. It's the second perek. So so Kalev is giving birth to Azuva Isha. Now, in a moment, by the way, the Gemara is going to note that he's married to Azuva, and the description over here of him giving birth to Azuva. So that's strange, and that needs an explanation. The Gemara is going to give an explanation. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But before we get to that, the Kalev ben Chetzron. So Kalev was the son of Chetzron. Now the Gemara says, you and I know, what do you mean ben Chetzron? So ben Chetzron, ben Yefunahu. Meaning, we know the Chumash tells us in Parsha Shlach that Kalev was the son of Yefunah. So who is his father? In other words, that's confusing. In Divra Yamim, it's Chetzron. In the Chumash itself, it's Yefunah. So which one's which? So the Gemara says, ben shepana me'atzas meraglim. So in other words, so Yefunah over here is an adjective. It's interesting. The Chumash name is the adjective, not the proper name. Either way. So Yefunah is pana. He turned away. Because what Kalev did is Kalev turned away from Atzas Meraglim. He was one of the 12 Meraglim and he withstood. In other words, all the other Meraglim came back and they told the Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, but not Kalev. So he withstood. He turned away from the Meraglim. So Vakati ben Kenazu dichsev yokadat niel ben Kenaz achi Kalev. And meanwhile, the Gemara says, wait one more piece of information that also will confuse us, and that's in Yoshua. And Aniel ben Kenaz achi Kalev. So we have Atniel, who is the brother of Kalev, and who is his father? Kenaz. And so now we are not given not one, not two, but three different names for the father of Kalev. So Amarava, so Chorgo de Kenazava. So the Gemara says that Kenaz was his stepfather. He grew up in the house of Kenaz. Dekanami dechsev. In fact, the Gemara is medayik from another pasuk in Yahushua. The pasuk reads in full, Vayomer elav Kalev ben Yefunah, Hakini Z. We're backing up one parak and say for Yoshua. So it's Kalev ben Yefunah v'Kini Z. That's better. Meaning that his father's Yefunah and he grew up in the Kini Z home. So Shema Mina. So you see over here that Kini Z was his stepfather. And so good. So he scribed, the word Kenaz is just simply a description of his stepfather, not his actual father. Father went by two names, Yefunah and, and Chetzron. Good. And the Kenaz is a reference to Kalev's stepfather. So Azuvah Zumiriam Blamikrishma Azuvah Shakal Azuvah Mitchilasa. Now the Azuvah mentioned in Divrei Hayamim is a reference to Miriam. Kalev ends up marrying Miriam. She's called Azuvah because everyone leaves her. What? Everyone leaves Miriam? So in a moment we're going to see together that Miriam was born very frail, very fragile, very sickly. And so nobody really wanted to marry her, right? As the Gemara is about to share with us in just a moment. So they gave her the name Azuvah just to give her that description. And just one of those questions which I'm certainly not going to have an answer for. And so let's call her Azuvah, meaning the information may be true. That is definitely not a positive way to describe her. And generally speaking, you don't want to call anyone by a name that would be negative in nature. Right, that's being mechane. That's giving a kinui, a nickname, a derogative nickname to somebody. That is a subcategory of onas devarim. Right, teasing and taunting is usher in the Torah. And so, why does the Chumash describe her? Why does the Navi describe her as Azuvah? Okay, one of those questions I'm not going to have an answer to. But anyway, that explains why her name is Azuvah. Now, it says back in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, we're going to quote it again, but Kalev ben Chetzron holid es Azuvah. Now, we know that Kalev marries Azuvah, but meanwhile, the Navi describes holada. He gives birth to her. So, so the Gemara asks exactly that question. Amar of Yochanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so what it means over here is as follows. He marries her, meaning Kalev marries Miriam. But when you marry L'Shem Shemaim, now marrying L'Shem Shemaim is a nice way to describe where. In other words, no, you didn't marry her for her looks, you didn't marry her for her money. But in other words, you married her because there's a mitzvah to get married. And so that's marriage L'Shem Shemaim. And when you do that, so it's Ke'ilu Yalad, that's like you gave birth to her. Okay, in other words, basically you gave her life, you gave her meaning, right? You enriched her life to the point where it's Ke'ilu, it's as if you gave birth to her. Okay. In the pasuk it says the Yirios. Now Yirios in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim also is a reference to Miriam, and there's Shayu Panim Domim Lirios. So her face looked like Yirios. Now I don't fully understand what this means, but I get the intent of the Gemara. And that is basically her face was like curtains. In other words, they didn't have complexion to them. She lacked complexion. This is that sickly look that we were trying to describe earlier. So ve'ela baneha, and again, going back to that pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, her sons are, and the Gemara immediately darshins, al tikrei baneha ela boneha. And when it says baneha, don't read it baneha, but rather boneha, that which builds her. That means to say that when her husband married her, he kind of like, he built her up. And yesher, she yesher satsmo, yesher, that he strained himself out. Meaning this is the Gemara's understanding, like I said in the beginning. The names in Divrei Hayamim are not names, but rather adjectives and descriptive terms. And so over here, when we see the word yesher in association with Kalev, it's a way to describe Kalev. In other words, he's yashar, he's straight. In other words, all the other Meraglim came back and they thought, well, let's lie. And he thought, no, let's not lie. Let's be straight. Let's be honest. Shovav sheshiva v'sitzro. He rebelled against his Yetzer. In other words, obviously, when the crowd is going in one direction, there is a strong force now to go with the crowd. And what he had to do is he had to fight that force. So that is shivev v'sitzro. He rebelled against his Yetzer hara. And finally, Ardon shirada v'sitzro. And Ardon from the word Radia, which means to have dominion. He had dominion over his Yetzahara. Igad Amri al Shayu Paneh Domim Leveret. Alternatively, Ardon is a description of Miriam. And that is that her face looked like Verita, looked like rose. Okay. We're gonna go on in Divrei Hayamim. So we're introduced in Divrei Hayamim to Kalev, who married Miriam. Again, the word Miriam is not found in Divrei Hayamim, but we understand its association with Miriam. And Ula Ashchur Avitkoa Hayushte Nashim Chalav V'Na'ara. And Ashchur is the Kalev. Now Ashchur is the reference to Kalev. Okay, again, it's right without our Gemara walking through Divrei Hayamim is like a minefield. In other words, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? So the Gemara over here gives positive identification of who's who in Divrei Hayamim. So Ashchor is a reference to Kalev Velamni Kvashmo Ashchor Sheushchor Panav Bisanios. And he's called Ashchor because his face blackened. The Gemara's assumption is that anyone who goes on continuous fasting is going to have a darker complexion. So, and he fasted. In other words, so that he would be in a state of defiance and non-compliance to the Meraglim, so he fasted. As a way of petitioning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he does not succumb to the Meraglim. And Avi Shinasela Ka'av. And Avi is once again a description of Kalev in the way that he was paternal towards his wife. In other words, he basically nursed his wife back to health. And Tekoa Shetaka Es Libo. So La Aviv Sheba Shemayim. And Tekoa from the word Takas Libo. Literally, he stuck his flag in the ground, being faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once again, another way of describing how he did not follow the crowd in terms of speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael. Hayushte Nashim is the Nasimiria Kishte Nashim. So, and as far as him having two wives, he didn't have two wives. He had one wife, but in other words, he had Miriam, right, the first version, and Miriam 2.0. Okay, but in other words, the first version was the sickly version of Miriam. That's the one he married, but then when he nursed her back to health and she became beautiful, so that was Miriam 2.0. That was the second wife that he had. Again, it was a new version of his wife, of Miriam. So, Chalav Na'ara, Lo Chalav Na'ara Havai. So, Ella, Shebetchila Chalav Losof Na'ara. And Chalav Na'ara, now, this one's easy. I say it's easy. Meaning, after seeing all the setup of the Gemara, so now you can like literally see this one so clearly. So Chalav Na'ara are the names of his wives. Again, it's not the names of his wives. It's Miriam. Chala, that's when she was sickly. From the word chola. And na'ara is a description usually of a young, beautiful woman. And that was Miriam after he married her. Uvnei chala, tzeres v'tzohar v'esnan. Okay, sorry. Tzeres v'tzohar v'esnan. Okay. Okay, two different girsas of whether it's a hey or a ches. Either way, it's a pasuk, so there shouldn't be girsos. Anyway, so tzeres and asa tzer lechavrasam. Right, she was like a tzara lechaver seha. Right, tzara usually is a description of a co-wife. In other words, then with co-wives there comes a lot of jealousy. So we can only imagine, but in other words, it's not that hard to imagine. So there's going to be a lot of jealousy, and once Miriam became so beautiful, so there was a lot of jealousy. And so harsh, she was like the, usually in poetry, it's like the morning star. She's not like the morning star, but she's like the afternoon sun. In other words, she's bright and radiant. And Esnan, when husbands see her, other husbands see her, so they have a taiva, and so what they do is they go home to their wives and they bring a gift to their wives. Okay, Esnan, right, if you're familiar, great, and if not, so I'm going to give you just like a crash course in Esnan. So Esnan is usually a gift you give to a prostitute in order, I say gift, by the way, payment to the prostitute. The Torah says by an Esnan that when the prostitute receives that her payment, in other words, usually comes in the form of an animal, so she's not allowed to bring it as a carbon, right? The lo savi Esnan. And Mechir Kelef. Okay, anyway. So the Esnan is not allowed to be brought as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. It's usher for a zona to bring an Esnan to the Beis HaMikdash. And so over here in this context, what it means is that when the husbands see Miriam, and again, we're talking about Miriam 2.0, so when they see her, so they're going to be filled with such a taiva that they're going to go back to their wives, and they were going to want to be with their wives. Okay. Really, really adult conversation over here. They're going to want to be with their wives and they're going to be bringing gifts to their wives in order so that their wives would be more interested. Okay, we're continuing now. Okay. So we have spent a lot of time with Kalev. In other words, almost the entirety of the beginning of today's daf, we spoke about Kalev in terms of A, who his father is, B, who his wife is. We haven't talked about his children, but anyway, so we spoke about Kalev. And the reason why we spoke about Kalev is because we noted that Kalev is, in fact, married to Miriam. And the reason why we made that point is because one of the opinions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu making batim for the Miyados, one of the opinions is that Machus, in other words, that the future kings of Israel are coming from Yocheved and Miriam. And we scratched our head and we said, how could that be? And now we know. In other words, because Miriam ended up marrying Kalev, and Kalev is a progenitor of the dynasty, of the monarchy of the Jewish people. Good. That was like the last 20 minutes, all summarized in a sentence. But then we went through the Pesukim and Divrei Hayamim and spent a lot of time darshaning all the names in Divrei Hayamim. Okay, now we're back to Shmos. We have been faithfully following the Pesukim and Shmos. I think we started in Pasuk Ches. You can fact check me. I'd appreciate if you did. So, and we basically have now covered almost every single pasuk. And now we're up to pasuk Chav Beis. So, Perek Aleph and Shmos, and we're in pasuk Chav Beis. Vayitzah Paro L'chol Amo. Paro gave instructions to his entire nation, and here, I'm just reading the rest of the pasuk. It's not in the Gemara. Kol HaBein HaYeluda Yorot HaShechu V'chol Abas Techayun. Every male is going to be thrown into the river. Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Af Alamogazar. When he said every male son, he meant every male son, meaning I don't care if the Jewish, I don't care if the Egyptian, every male is going to go into the river. In other words, there comes a point in time where he was advised that in other words, the savior of the Jewish people is now going to be born, and with uncertainty of where it's coming from, so he quote unquote lost his mind and he had every male being thrown into the river. I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Shosh Kazeres Gazar B'tchila Im Ben Huv Amisen Asol Levesof Kol HaBen HaYilod HaYiru Tashlichuhu Uvesof Af Alamo Gazar. So basically, there were three stages of Gzera. Number one, stage number one, so the is that he entrusted his midwives to go ahead and to kill the males. Stage number two, he told everybody, in other words, the entire nation, you see a Jewish boy, you're gonna kill him. And then stage number three, which we just got done describing, is that every male, whether I say Jewish, by the way, everyone understands. Jewish is a modern term, right? Israelite. So, it doesn't matter if they're from Israel or if they're from Mitzri. Doesn't matter. In other words, everyone's going to be thrown in. Vayilich ish mi beis levi. Okay, now we're up to Perek Beis in Chumash. And now the marriage of Amram and Yocheved. Okay, a lot of this, by the way, you've heard before, you know already. But obviously, our Gemara is the platform, meaning this is really where we're going to get beginning. A lot of our Midrashim from is our Gemara. And, of course, the Midrash itself. So over here he goes. In other words, what does that mean, he went? So Amar Rav Yehuda ben Zvina Shalach Batzas Bito, he went by the advisement, under the advisement of his daughter. We now know that daughter is Miriam. So Tana Amram Gadol Ador Hayah, he was a Gadol Ador, he was a leader of the generation. Kevan Shegazar Parra Arasha Kobana Yulud Ayor Tashichu Amar Lishavanu Amelim. So he made a decision, and that is that once Parra decreed that all the male children are going to be put to death, so he said, Lishavanu Amelim. We're working for no reason, meaning we're procreating, and what's going to happen is that we're going to procreate, and Parra's just going to kill them. There's no point. In other words, so basically he himself stopped trying to have children. So, which means that he separated from his wife. So Amad Vigirish Yisishto. So Amad Kulam Vigirish Yisno Shosem. Now, because he was a Gadol Ador, so he was a role model. He divorced his wife. Everybody divorced their wives. So Amr Lo Bito Abba Kashik Zero Secha Yosem Mishal Paro Shapar Lo Gazar Al Al Zecharim V'Ata Gazar Tal Zecharim V'Al Nekevos. So Miriam now made a number of arguments. Miriam, his daughter, which I know if you do the math right now, she's coming out to be really young at this point in time. But still, she makes the following arguments to her father, and that is argument number one. Dad, so Parah's decree is on the male, and you're decreeing by you not having children, both on the male and on the female. And that's argument number one. Argument number two, Parah lo gazer ela ba'olam hazeh ve'ata, olam hazeh ve'olam haba. So the... And your gzera is going to have more than just impact on this world. It's also going to have impact on the world to come. In other words, bringing neshamas into this world is a big deal. Even if it means that they're going to be dying early, but still, it's a big deal. It's going to have impact on this world and the world to come. And paro harasha safeg miskayemis gzerasos safeg enim miskayemis atatzik bevaday shigzeras chamis chayemis shenemar vesigzor omer vayakam lach. And argument number three. Argument number three is that, look, as far as the Xeras power is concerned, who knows? Who knows? In other words, these Xeras are not lasting, and even if the Xeras is still intact, but maybe there's a way of hiding Moshe. Right. I say that knowing, you know, that what's going to happen. So and meanwhile, by you not having children, meaning you're Vadai, meaning by you not being with your wife, or otherwise known as my mother, by you not being with her, so that's a Vadai. In other words, for sure there's not going to be children. So three separate arguments that Miriam gives to her father in terms of why Amram and Yechev should reconnect. So Amad Beichziris Ishto, Amdukulam Beichziris Neshoseim. Okay? So in other words, those arguments spoke to him, and Amram went back to Yechev. That's Vayelech. In other words, that takes us all the way back to the original question of what is Vayelech? And he went. In other words, he went with the advice of his daughter. So Vayikach, and he takes Vayachzor mi Baile. So the Gemara says, okay, Vayikach. Now the Gemara is bothered by the fact that it says Vayikach. Vayikach usually is a descriptive verb that talks about the original marriage, but it's not the original marriage. Meaning now we know, we're a little bit better informed. They were already married, and all he's doing is he's taking her back. So really, what the pasuk should say is Vayachzor. It was Machzir Grushaso. So I'm Rav Yehuda bar Zevina Shasala Maisa Lekuchin. Oshiva bir poyim varin Miriam miraklefanel malach esher samru ema banim smecha. So in other words, so they made it like a chasna. In other words, even though it was not as exciting, in other words, it wasn't like he was marrying her for the first time, but in other words, they made it into a big deal. They made a big simcha out of it, right? They made a chuppah. They were dancing. They were mirakade. Malach esher came down. It was a big deal. So and the pasuk then goes on to describe as bas levi. Now he's taking Bas Levi. So Yocheved over here is being described as the daughter of Levi. Afshar Bas Meir Shoshim Shana Havya Bekarele Bas. So over here, the daughter of Levi. The word Bas usually is a description of not just the daughter of, but she's youthful. Now youthful is funny over here, considering that she's 130 years of age. So that's not usually how you describe somebody that's youthful. So Am Rabbi Chama B'Rabbi Chanina. So Yocheved Sharasa Kederach V'Leidasa Ben Achamas. So it's a reference to Yocheved. And she was conceived outside of Mitzrayim v'leidasa ben achamos, and she's born between the walls. Okay, now if you've never heard this expression before, so the Gemara in a number of occasions describes Yocheved as being born between the walls. Okay, this is a way to kind of split the atom, because If you recall, the Pesukim at the end of Bereishis go on to describe that 70 people went down to Mitzrayim, and then it gives us a count, and it counts as number 69. Okay. And obviously that's confusing. Meaning, how come the Torah gives us the number 70, and then actually counts the children, and only gets to 69? So one of the answers of the Gemara elsewhere, which our Gemara over here is making reference to, is that there were 69 going down, but Levi's wife was pregnant, giving birth to Yocheved. But in other words, but not in Eretz Yisrael and not in Mitzrayim, but rather Bein Chamos. In other words, basically when they were in border control, if you will, so there, that's where Yocheved was born. So she wasn't born in Eretz Yisrael, she wasn't born in Mitzrayim. Okay, and that's the splitting of the difference between 69 and 70. That's how we get to number 70, Yocheved. Which means what? In other words, now let's put that into context. Which means now that she was born at the beginning of Mitzrayim. The very beginning. Okay. Now, the math over here is very simple. In other words, the Gemara assumes that she's 130. How do we get to 130? Because we know that upon Yitzias Mitzrayim, Moshe was 80 years of age. We know that the total stay that they were in Mitzrayim was 210 years. Okay. The numbers over here are easy. So it's 210, take away 80. That means that Yocheved at the birth of Moshe was 130. That's how the Gemara gets to the number 130 over here. So v'leidasa ben achamos shenamar asher yalda osa levi ben Mitzrayim. So leidasa ben Mitzrayim ben arasa ben Mitzrayim. Her birth was in Mitzrayim, but her conception was not in Mitzrayim. Okay. Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Okay. I know we don't have a lot of time, and I know we have a lot of Gemara, but the Gemara in Tanis, which we're going to see together, we saw it together at the end of Moed. So the Gemara in Tanis brings down that, you know, Yosef had two sons before the famine began, because you're not allowed to have children during the famines, right? It's a Gemara in Tanis, I think Daf Tes. Anyway, sorry, whatever. I'm going on memory now. Anyway, Tosos over there asks a wonderful question. It's a really strong question, and that is that Yosef had to stop having children because of the impending fast. And that's why Yosef did not have any children once the fast started. Once the famine started, so Yosef did not have children, because you're not allowed to have children during years of famine. Okay, that's the Gemara in Tanis. And Tosus over there was bothered by, wait one second, Yosef didn't have any children, but you know who did? Levi. Meaning, as they're entering into Mitzrayim, and this is now year two of the famine, so now Levi and his wife are expecting a baby. And in fact, that's Yocheved. That's who we're describing over here. So Tosus over there wonders, how could it be that Yosef, in other words, was compliant, in other words, and didn't have children during the years of famine, and Levi did? Okay. See there for the Tosus for suggested answers. Anyway, we're going to go back to our Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda Shinola Basi Mani Nairus. Okay, another explanation of why she's called Bas, meaning Yocheved at 130 is called Bas. So why? So Simani Naris, because in other words, she started getting back some youthful characteristics at 130 years of age. One other point I'll share with you, and that is that the Torah makes such a big deal about Sarah having a child at 90 years of age, right? I'm sure you noticed, right? In Parshas Vayera, Sarah at 90 years of age, how in the world can I have a child? I'm 90 years old, and that's crazy, and the Torah makes a big deal. And meanwhile, it's kind of like casual now that Yocheved at 130 is having a child, and the Torah doesn't make anything about it. In other words, we're making a big deal about it now, but that's in the Gemara, that's in the Torah Shebaal Peh. But in the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah itself doesn't make a big deal about it. So if you want to formulate the question, why sometimes in the Chumash does the Torah make a big deal about a 90-year-old having a baby, but for the 130-year-old, the Torah itself is like kind of like just like, you know, shoulder shrug, like, of course. Okay. And that question also is addressed. I just formulated the question. Avatar Yisha Vatele Ben. So, Vahahava Me'abra Beitlas Yarchem Yikara. Now, she conceived. And the Gemara's assumption is that she already was pregnant. How did the Gemara know that? So, you have to just wait a little bit. The Gemara is going to explain that point a little bit better in just a moment. So, but still, assuming that that's true, that she already conceived, so then why does it give us the impression now that now she conceived? I'm reviewed. Just like conception is not painful, so too when she delivered the baby, it was also not painful. When you have a tzaddikus, okay, this I would not, I of all the information that, you know, you might want to share with your spouse, I would recommend maybe not sharing this one piece of information. But a tzaddikus is not going to have pain during her during her delivery, because she's not bepiska shel chava, right? The note of chava, right? What are the notes of chava? The notes of chava are, is that as one of the klalos of chava, is that you're going to have pain during childbirth. But if you're tzaddikus, you're not going to be in that klala. Okay. Okay. Anyway, all right, enough said. Vatero sokitovu. Okay, we're continuing. This is now still the beginning of the second parak. So what does that mean that he was good? Moshe was born and Moshe was good. So the Gemara gives a couple of explanations, a number of explanations. Tanya Rabbi Omer Tov Shmo. One explanation number one is that his name was actually Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tov Yishmo. His name was Tovia. So Nehemiah Omer Hagun Linevios. In other words, he was appropriate to be a reception for Nevuah. Acherim Omrim Nola Kishu Mal was born with a bris milah v'chacham Amomrim b'shasha Nola Moshe Nismalei Habayis Kula Or. The light was the room was filled with light. Ksiv Hacha V'Tera Oso Kitovu V'Ksiv Hasam V'Yar Lokim Es Haor Kitov. You see the word Tov in reference to light. You see it by Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, I am sure there is much more to add over here. We're going to go on. V'Titzmaneu Shlosha Yerachim. They were able to hide him for 3 months. And Delamana Mitzrayim Ella. Mishad Ahadra. So now, how were they able to hide him for 3 months? So, as far as the Egyptians were concerned, remember, their goal was to kill every newborn. So they only started counting from when Amram takes back Yocheved. Okay? So remember now, and this is the part that I foreshadowed just moments earlier. Remember that the truth of the matter is that she already was pregnant. For 3 months. But the Egyptians didn't know that. So in other words, they figured that now, from this point, from the marriage, second time that Amram marries Yocheved, it's from this point going forward now that she can conceive. That's what they think. So now, v'hiyava me'abra be'tlasa yarchimikara. She already was pregnant 3 months earlier. Okay, now, this part gets a little bit shaky, meaning, and what? And Amram didn't know about that? Meaning, remember, Amram said, I'm not going to have any more children. And he didn't know that his wife was pregnant 3 months earlier. I'm suggesting that as a pshat. I don't know, but maybe that's the pshat. So that means now that as far as actual versus perceived, actually at the marriage already she was 3 months pregnant, which means now that they were able. So, and as far as perception is concerned, the Egyptians saw that already. This is the beginning of her conception. So now when you move forward, and by the way, the Egyptians are thinking this about a 130-year-old woman. Okay, but anyway. So now going forward, so for the next 3 months, the Egyptians are not going to bother her. And meanwhile, those next 3 months are going to be the months for her, 4, 5, and 6 of gestation. Okay? We all know, but the Gemara is about to tell us, Moshe came out 3 months early. Okay. So, v'lo yachla od hatzpino. So the Gemara says, now why weren't they able to keep the secret? So the Gemara says that the Mitzrayim had a great way of basically getting babies to cry, and that is that they would bring their own babies to cry, and that would induce and get the other babies to cry. So basically, after the birth, there's no way that they were able to hang on to baby Moshe anymore, because keeping the baby quiet was no longer a tenable position. Vatikach lo tevas goma. Okay, so over here we continue now in the psukim, and now we are going into the basket. Okay, so already this is now the third pasuk of the second parak. V'lo yachlo. I'm just reading the pasuk. Okay, Okay, so a lot of this pasuk is going to be darshan right now. Let's go step by step. So vatika chlo tevas goma. So the Gemara says maishna goma. So how come a basket that is goma? So amr abelazim mikal tzadikim she mamonim chavim aleim yoser migufam. So the as far as tzaddikim are concerned, so their money is more beloved than their actual guf. The kol kach lama, meaning, just if I can explain this a little bit better, meaning the gome is an inferior quality, it's cheaper, and she put them in a cheaper basket, and it's going to be harder on Moshe's body. Now again, Moshe's a baby at this point in time, but it's going to be harder on his body. But in other words, the fact that they're able to save money, that's a big deal. And I know that sounds strange, but the Gemara is about to explain. The kol kach lama lefisha ain poshtin yadayim begezel. So and the Gemara's explanation is that, look, in other words, better to live frugally and not be involved in any kind of illicit gains. And any kind of illicit gains for a tzaddik is something that the tzaddik wants nothing to do with. And if that means that they have to live on the cheap, that's fine. In other words, we'll live on the cheap and we will not get any kind of illicit gains. And even though living on the cheap means that you're going to be suffering in terms of your quality of life, that's fine. And that's why Moshe was put into a cheap basket. Moshe, they couldn't put him in a nicer basket? And the answer is no. In other words, that's lesson number one. Rabbi Shmuel Menachmini Amar Davarach, Sheyacholamo Bifnei Davarach, Ubifnei Davakasha. And the Gemara gives the second explanation, Tevas Goma, meaning instead of making like a something out of wood and sturdy, so they make it out of a soft basket, a soft reed. So the second explanation of the Gemara is that because basically it could withstand soft and hard, meaning that basically the soft reed is able to navigate through through soft currents, hard currents. Okay, second explanation. V'tachmara bechemar uvezefes. As far as the reed basket is concerned, so they spread on it chemer and zephas, different types of pitches. Tana chemer bifnim v'zefa mi b'chutz k'dei shalei yirichu, so tzadik reich ra. So the chemer went on the inside, and the zephas is some foul-smelling tar that goes on the outside, and only on the outside, so that Moshe would not have to be smelling the reich ra, the bad smell. Okay? And much to be said regarding the fact that by Moshe, the zephas was on the inside, and by Noach, it was both on the outside and on the inside as well. And the side-by-side comparison of Noach and Moshe. But anyway, we are going to continue. Okay. Okay. Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we're halfway through today's daf. Okay. And I'm already ready for my nap. And I see what the time is. Okay. Whatever. We'll just plug along. And he takes the child and he puts him in the suf, and Rabbi Elazar Omer Yam Suf. Okay, so they put him. In other words, even though it says suf, it really means Yam Suf, right? It wasn't just like some sort of like it was like an ocean. It was a large body of water. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, we're on the very top of Yud Beis Amud Beis Agam. I think it's called a swale. Anyway, but the basic idea is that they didn't put it, not directly into the river. Again, I say river; it's probably a much larger body of water, but rather on a swale on the side. So the kedichsev kanev v'suf kamelu. The pasuk in Yeshayahu gives a description of basically this shallow area on the side. Avater bas paro l'rchotz al yor. So now we're up to pasuk hey. Second parak of Shmos, Pasuk Hey, and Bas Paro comes, L'rchotz al yor. Okay, everyone knows this drasha. Rashi brings it down to Chumash. Again, you know, like I said yesterday, a lot of these drashas that we're going through in the Gemara, Rashi brings it down to Chumash, and the ones Rashi brings down, obviously, are going to experience more popularity. Okay, Rashi does that, meaning because Rashi is such a popular parish, so it's, you know, he's almost like, you know, fundamental to learning Chumash, so therefore we are more versed in and the ones that Rashi brings down. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochanan Malam Mishiyarda L'rchotz Migalulei Avia. So she herself is now going to bathe herself from the idolatry of her fathers. In other words, she wants to now become monotheistic. V'cheinu Amer Im Rechatz Hashem Etzoas Benotz Yom. We have a pasuk in Yeshayahu giving this type of description that sometimes bathing does not mean a physical bath, but rather a spiritual bath, and that's what she wanted to do. V'narsa hochos, and she was going with her na'aroseha. Right, that's her help. Am Rav Yochanan ein aluchazu ela lashon misa. So v'cheinu omer hinei anochi holech lamus, and all of her naros are headed to death. And as the Gemara is about to explain, because what they were trying to do is they were trying to stop her, meaning Baspara wanted to save the baby, and everybody around her was telling her, no, don't save the baby. And the malachim that were there, so they all basically killed off the naros of Baspara. Vateres ateva besochasov kevan de chazu de kabau latzule lamoshe. So the shvacho saw that she, Baspara, wanted to save Moshe. Amrla gvirtenu minagushola melech basav adam goes exerim kolam kula in mekayma mosa. So banav v'nei basav mekayma mosa v'at overs exeris avich. So what you're doing is that you're going against the decree of your father. Meaning everyone else is following the decree of the father, and you're going against the decree of the father. So Ba Gavriel v'chavta b'karka, and the Malach Gavriel comes and takes her faces and the faces of all of the shvachos of Basparo and sticks it right in the ground. In other words, he kills them all. And v'tishlachas amasa v'tikachah, and what she does is that she sends her amasa in order to get the basket. And amasa, what does that mean? And Rav Yehuda v'Rav Nechemiah, chad amar yadav v'chad amar shivchasa. Two different ways to interpret it. It could either be a reference to her hand, or it could be a reference to her maidservant. Now, man damar yadav dichsev amasa. Now, if you say that's her hand, so the word ama usually is a reference to an arm. Uman damar shivchasa medeloksev yada. On the other hand, it is a reference to an arm, but if you want to say that she used her arm, so then the Chumash should have used the word yada. And the Gemara goes back and forth. Laman damar shivchasa hamart ba gavriel v'chavta mekarka. So now, if you say that it was one of her maidservants, didn't we just learn together that all of her maidservants died? They were killed by Gavriel. So the Gemara says, "Deshayi lachad de lav orcha de basmaka lemekam lechuda." So now, Gavriel didn't kill all of them; he killed just most of them. He left her one. So she had one maidservant left. So when she went to collect the basket, she sent, according to this opinion, she sent the one remaining maidservant. Lemanda amar yada lichtov yada. Now, if you think it's her actual arm, so why doesn't the pasuk say the word yada? Kamashvandi ishtarvuve, ishtarve, ishtarbuve. So over here, the reason why it says amasa as opposed to yada is because what her arm did is her arm stretched out. Elastically, her arm went ahead and reached out to the basket, because, in other words, her arms, as currently constructed, would not be able to reach. The amar mar, v'chenatamose ba'amaso shabas paro, v'chenatamose b'shine, Rishaim dichsiv, shine Rishaim shibarta, v'amar Rishlakish al tikra shibarta, ela shiribavta. The Gemara over here is making a reference to a medrash. And this medrash can be found in the Gemara, I think it's in Brachos. Okay, I think so. Either way, the medrash is regarding Og, right? The Og takes a mountain and wants to throw it on top of the Jewish people, and okay, I'm not going to go through every detail in the Medrash. Anyway, the point is that the teeth of Og grew, locking the mountain in place. If you know what I'm making reference to, great. If not, it's fine for now. Anyway, the idea is that the word Shibarta could also be a derivative of the word Rivavta, meaning to grow. And just like we say that regarding the Rishayim, we say that in this case regarding the Tzadikim, or in this case the Tzadikos. In other words, Baspara, her arm grew and extended. Okay. Vatiftach v'tareo se'yelad. And her arm reaches out, and she grabs the yelad. Vatire mi baile. Now, vatire who is they saw. And meanwhile, what it really, the grammatically, should make more sense to say vatire. So the Gemara is answer. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Chinin Shirasa Shechina Imo. And so what she sees is that she sees that it wasn't just Moshe, but it was the Shechina together with Moshe as well. In other words, she saw them. The them over there is a reference to Moshe and the Shechina. Okay, again, famous Rashi brings this down in Chumash. In other words, Moshe is described as a yelad. Moshe is described as a na'ar. Na'ar gives the connotation of being a little bit older. So which one's right? So Tana. So who yelad v'kolo kenar? So the Gemara gives a couple of explanations. Explanation number one is that obviously it's a baby. However, sounding a lot older. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Amar la Rabbi Nechemi Imkein Asisa la Moshe Rabbeinu Bamom. So a baby that sounds older, so that is that's deviant, and deviancy is the Baal Mum, and you don't want to make Moshe into a Baal Mum, meaning somebody who is blind. That's really weird. Why would you want to do that? So Ella Malamisha Solo Ima Chupas Neurim Beteva. So the Gemara says no. When the word Nara over here is a reference to something else, and that is Chupas Neurim. What Mom did is that Mom made a chupa in the teva. I'll explain that better in just a moment. And Amar Hashem Alo Iskal Chupaso. Okay. Basically, what Mom did is the following. When Yocheved prepared the teva for Moshe, so what she was really hoping is that there would be a lot of rachmanas, meaning whoever finds the teva is going to have rachmanas. And so what she did is a chupa. Now, the chupa obviously is a canopy that's going to be used at the marriage, but the marriage usually comes, you know, back in the day, 13, 14 years later. In other words, and so, but hopefully the person who finds the teva is going to see the chuppah and going to think to himself, well, should I kill the baby as per the instructions of Paro? Alternatively, in other words, right, this is somebody who's, you know, going to grow up and is going to get married. And it's, and the whole point of Yocheved is basically to induce Rachmanus. The one who finds it is going to have more compassion seeing the chuppah. Okay. When Bas Paro sees the baby, she has Rachmanus, and she says, Yaldei HaYivrim. Ah, a Hebrew. In other words, this baby is Jewish. You and I call Jewish. So, Mina Yada, how did she know? I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Sharaso, Mahul. And the Gemara's answer is because he saw the baby with a bris. I'm Rav Yochanan Malamish and it's not for Shlomi Data. Zenofa ve'in acher nofa. So, now she gave off Nevuah, but she didn't know she was saying Nevuah. And she said that this one's going to fall ve'in acher nofa. So in other words, this is going to be the last baby that's going to be thrown into a river, because from that day going forward, as we're going to be seeing momentarily, from that day going forward, no longer were babies being thrown into the river. Meaning once Moshe was thrown into the river, so the Atstignine Paro, all the astrologers went to Paro and said, okay, you're good, you're in the clear. Meaning successful. Baby was thrown into the river. Okay. So the V'hainu Dam Rebbe Elazar, my Dersi V'chi Yomru Alechem Dershu Ala Avos, V'ela Yidonim, HaMitzavtefim V'hamagim. Pasuk in Yishayahu. And the... Sofim ve'ina yode ma'atsofim. So what they do is they see things, but they don't understand what they see. Magim ve'ina yode ma'agim ra'u moshim she'yisrael b'mayim u'loke. In other words, what they saw at that point in time is they saw that the Moshe Yisrael, and what was he do? What happened to him? He drowned in the water. At least that's what they thought they saw. Again, they had some sort of visualization. They had some sort of, you know, I'm going to use the word nevuah. Okay? So probably a poor choice of words, but you understand. They had some sort of vision, but they didn't understand. Amdu v'gazru ala ben yalud yaru tashachul kevin d'shayju ala Moshe amru sulu chazin akahu simana. So now, once they knew that the demise of the savior of the Jewish people is going to be thrown into water, and then Moshe was actually thrown in the water, so then the atstignine, all these fortune tellers, soothsayers, whatever, however you want to describe them. So they all, the astrologers. So they all went to Paro and they said, okay, good. In other words, we no longer see the vision. We must be good. That's all their perception. But of course, what they saw was very opaque and they really didn't know what they were seeing. Now it's true. Moshe's demise is going to come through water, but that's much later on. In other words, 120 years later. Me Meriva, right? The, Parshas Chukas. Okay, so that's when all that's happening. So v'ainu d'amr Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina ma'idichsiv hema meimriva sheravu. So hema sheravu atzignine paro. That's what atzignine paro saw. They just didn't know what they saw. So v'tau v'ainu d'kamer Moshe sheish meos elav ragli. So amar la Moshe liyisrael b'shvilin saltakuchem. And Moshe tells the Jewish people, you know, because of me, all of you were saved. Meaning, now we can understand that in context. Meaning because once Moshe was thrown into the river, so then at that point in time, Paro said, okay, that's it. No more Jewish sons have to be thrown into the river. And from that day going forward, Jewish sons were successfully born in Mitzrayim. And basically that entire generation Moshe said, it's because of me. Meaning once I was thrown into the river, Paro now allowed for all Jewish boys to be born. So, okay, so Moshe can say correctly, factually, in other words, you're all here because of me. Okay. Day that Moshe was saved. Okay, let's do this one more. Okay, so Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Amar Oso Ayom. So Esrim Ve'echa Benisan Haya. So what was the day that Moshe was saved? Okay, so we're gonna mark 2 days on the calendar. Okay, so on one Esrim Ve'echa Benisan Haya. So one day that's marked is the 21st day of Nisan. Okay.
That doesn't make sense. Oh. Moshe was
Gemara's going to go through the math in just a moment. Okay, so they're good. Okay, good. So Gemara's going to do the math. So by the 21st day of Nisan, so we happen to be currently right now today is the, someone please correct me, 17th day of Nisan? No. 18th? Huh? It's 19th. Okay, why am I so bad at this? Anyway, today's the 19th day of Nisan. Okay, so we're so close. So as right Tuesday right okay thank you right, Tuesday is 21 okay I should have figured that out okay sorry for being so slow so also Yom Esrim Ve'echa Benisan Haya so it was so Moshe's day in which it was thrown into the river was the 21st day of Nisan Amar Malach Hashosef Nekodesh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Mi Asila Mashir Al Hayam B'Yom Zeh so we're going to be seeing Shira Al Hayam. Meaning on the 21st day of Nisan of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is now going to be, how many years later? 80 years later, right? Moshe by Yetzias Mitzrayim was 80, right? The math is easy. Meaning at Moshe's death, he was 120. 40 years earlier is Yetzias Mitzrayim, so he was 80 years of age. So Moshe, 80 years later, is going to be saying Shira Alayam, okay, on that day. Okay. If you're with me, by the way, if you're still with me, by the way, I'm so impressed. Because we are almost an hour into today's daf. Okay, these dapim are really long. They're going to shorten up a little bit later on. But anyway, so if you're still with me, so just follow me carefully over here. Okay, this is not my observation, right? I've heard this many times before, but it's so good. And that is that we assume that Kriyas Yamsuf was on day 7. In the Chumash, it's meaning from Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the Chumash itself, never says day 7. Never. Meaning we know that based on Midrashim, based on Seder Olam, we don't know it from the actual Chumash itself. Now, we assume that because on the seventh day of Pesach, it's a Yontif, so therefore we assume, oh, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the Chumash itself, the Chumash never makes that connection. We make that connection. When I say we, by the way, with the help of Midrashim, we make that connection, but in the Chumash itself, not a connection point. Meaning, if you ask somebody, when was Kriyas Yamsuf? Everyone will assume that the Chumash says it's day 7, never says that in the Chumash. Okay. So anyway, so on day 7 is Kriyas Yamsuf. So Rabbi Acha bar Chanina Amar Oso Hayom. So Shisha B'Stephen Haya. Now the Gemara gives a second opinion, which is that it was not the 21st day of Nisan, but rather the 6th of Sivan. Amar Malach Eshaos of Nekosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Mi Asila Kabal Torah Mihar Sinai B'Yom Zeh Yoka B'Yom Zeh. So and that's what the Malachim are petitioning. Meaning that this is a day that, again, 80 years from now, are going to be receiving the Torah in Har Sinai. And so this is the day in which Moshe should be killed. He shouldn't be killed today. Okay. So however you want to petition it, meaning based on the day in which Moshe was thrown into the Or. And the Gemara now, good. So Ben, we'll finish off today with this. Bishlam Lamanda Mashisha Shasivan Mishkachala. So now, Moshe was being thrown into the Nile on day 6 of Sivan. It's an easier date to work with. So Mishkach Chalashol Sheyarche Damar Mar Shiva Ba'Adar Meis. Because we know V'Shiva Ba'Adar Nolad Moshe. In other words, we know his birthday. His birthday was the seventh day of Adar. Right? That we all know. And so now V'Shiva Ba'Adar V'Shisha B'Sivan Talta Yarche. Okay, so now we know he was born on the seventh day of Adar. So now, from the seventh day of Adar until the sixth day of Sivan, that's 3 months perfect. Perfect. Okay. That's good. But Elamand Amr Besim Ve'echa B'Nisan Hech Mishkachala. However, if he was born on the seventh day of Adar, so now how are we getting 3 months from seventh day of Adar to 21st day of Sivan? The math simply doesn't work. So the Gemara says, I know it doesn't work, but work with me. Work with me. Also, Shana Mu'baris Aisa. So the Gemara says that that year was a Shnas Mu'baris. In other words, it was an every year. So now you're not going to have one Adar, but you're going to have two Adars. And so Ruba Shal Rishon. So what do you have now? So you have most of Adar number one, meaning he was born on the seventh day of Adar. So let's count that as a month, even though I know it's not. And then now you're going to have the Iber Adar. You're going to have the second Adar. So good. That's a full month. And now you'll have the 21st day of Nisan. And again, let's count that a month, even though, again, it's not a month, it's three quarters of a month. So, Verubo Shal Achron and Emsai Shalim. Okay. So I know it's not 3 months, but in other words, if you're ready to just, give in a little bit, and also with the assumption that's an Ibrigar, so in other words, you can make 3 months out of that. It can be done. Okay. But Tomer Achoso is where we're going to stop. We made it to the full hour today. Okay. No need to summarize today's daf. It's because it's really easy. In other words, if I could just break up today's daf into two parts. The first part of today's daf is that we spoke a lot about Kalev. Meaning in the beginning of today's daf, end of Yud Alef, going into Yud Beis, we spoke a lot about Kalev and his marriage to Miriam. He married Miriam. Where in the Chumash do we see that Kalev married Miriam? You're not going to find it in the Chumash. In other words, but because of today's daf, we know that Kalev married Miriam. And so we went through Pesukim and Divrei Hayamim and we associated and we connected. Anyway, Kalev married Miriam. Let's say it. Good. So that's the beginning of today's daf, and the Gemara spent a lot of time with that. And then after that, the majority of today's daf, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, going into where we got up to. We didn't even finish today's daf, but we got pretty far. Into today's daf, so we darshan the psukim at the end of the first parak of Shmos into the second parak of Shmos, and we are going to put a bookmark over here. And tomorrow we start with Pasuk Zion of the second parak.